Well, I've got some mixed emotions about God's will for right now, and I hope I'm not missing His will. I trust that I'm not. I hope the Lord will help us in the preaching. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles again this morning to Psalm 39. David's writing of Psalm number 39, please. Psalm 39 has 13 verses. When you find that place, if you'll stand, we'll read the psalm together. I want to say I thank the Lord for His presence today. What God's doing in hearts. Psalm 39 in verse number 1, David said, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence, I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb and opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. My, what chastisement can do. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as all my fathers were. Amen. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning for your presence, for the good Spirit of God that has saw fit to visit your people again. And Lord, for stirring my old cold heart and helping me to understand the way of God more perfectly. Thank you this morning for thy people. And Lord, for their worship, and their attitude of heart today. I pray now that you'll move souls for thee. And Lord, that you'll speak to every heart. And God, that you'll give victory to every individual in this room today, whether it be salvation, our service, or Lord, whether there's needs, problems, afflictions, whatever the need might be, I pray that you'll see to it, and Lord, that you'll mend it, bless it, and help it, and we'll be sure to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I'll read my text verse this morning, then say a few things about this particular psalm. And then I'll try to bring the message I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart for today. Our text this morning is found in verse number 9, where David said, I was dumb, I opened not my mouth. And notice the reason David did not open his mouth, because thou didst it. I want to preach this morning on the same thought that I taught Sunday school on last Sunday morning, on responses to perplexities. Responses to perplexities. Psalm number 39 is a record of David's responses to various troubles or perplexities in his life. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. And the pathway of righteousness and living for God is not a smooth course. It is a rough course. But thank God that it's made smooth by the presence of the Lord Jesus. He'll exalt every valley and He'll lower every mountain and enable you and I to make it through this life with joy in our heart and a spring in our step if we'll let God lead our way. Now, to the child of God, these perplexing times are the working of God. And our response to Him is indeed, church, very important. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how can that be? Because Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. All things work together for our good. And God is yet a sovereign God. And even through afflictions, through troubles, and through perplexities of life, the Lord is doing that to work in you and I that which pleases Him to bring us to a place of being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to say to you, church, that these perplexing times are going to come. And they're not easy to overcome in our life. Hard times are surely to oppose you. Listen what Jeremiah said in his writing in Jeremiah 12 and verse number 5. He said, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Jeremiah is simply saying, if you have encountered adversaries in your life on your equal, and they have bothered you or wearied you, how on heaven's name will you make it when something stronger comes along? And in a land of peace, if in a land of peace and prosperity you've been troubled, then how shall you possibly make it when Jordan is swelled or when troublesome and perilous times come your way? I think the wise man Solomon put it in his writing in chapter 24 of the book of Proverbs and verse number 10 this way. He said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is indeed very small. And church, times of adversity are sure to come into your life. Everything is not going to be smooth. But I'm glad, thank God, that all things are there to work for our good and for the glory of Almighty God. Amen. Now, we find, and our response, by the way, to these troublesome times is very important to you and I. You know, many times our character is determined by our reactions rather than our actions. And how you react to situations in your life is a great deal more important most of the time than your actions in your life. Now, don't nobody leave me now. In verses 1 through 3, we find David keeping silent in his affliction. He said there that while the wicked was before him, he would put a bridle on his mouth, that he would not speak a word with his tongue while the wicked was before him. And we find David in his affliction and his trouble, we find him keeping silent before the Lord. Somebody said, Brother Hall, why is that? Because David knew that in troublesome times, if we begin to run our mouth and begin to murmur and complain, then we'll do nothing but destroy the work of God and hinder sinners from coming to Christ. I want to say to you this morning, if every time you sat down with some lost man, whether it be a relative or a friend, and all you have to say is how hard things are, and how bad you're having it, you'll do nothing but hinder the work of God and God accomplishing salvation in that individual's life. Hey, church, I'll be honest with you. I want to tell sinners how good God is. That's right. As the choir sang this morning, how great thou art. Thank God He's got a name that is above every name. He's never made a mistake. He does all things well. He cannot make a mistake. It's impossible for God to do us wrong. And regardless of the situations in our life, we ought to just magnify and extol the name of God, testify of His goodness and grace, that sinners might see our good works and glorify our God, which is in heaven. I'm telling you, there is nothing taken you, but such as is common to man. And as the choir sang, God will make a way in your life if you want a way. Now don't nobody leave me. David there is in his perplexities. He's keeping silence. He's tempted to murmur and complain in the presence of sinners and lost men. But I tell you, instead of complaining, in verses 12 and 13, and I'll teach this in Sunday school next week, he pours out his soul to God. He said, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." Hey, if you got a complaint before God, don't complain before a lost man. I've got news for you. Don't even complain about it in the church house. Son, I'm tired of saved people coming to the house of God and testifying about how bad they're having it in life. Hey, unto God, I'm telling you, I'm having it good in my life. How much better can it possibly be? I was a sinner on my road to hell without God and without hope, friend. And God's omnipotent hand of mercy extended from heaven's throne all the way down to Calvary, grabbed hold of the Son of God with one hand, the Son of God grabbed mine with the other, and there on the cross, He reconciled me unto God, give me peace in the inward man, and set me, my friend, in a wonderful, wide, and peaceful place, a serving God. I've had it good. Now, don't nobody leave me now. We see David's silence. We see David's supplication. But the thought I want to deal with this morning is found in verse number 9. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Hey, it's not his silence nor his supplication that I want to deal with today, but it's David's submission to a righteous God. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, you ought to get in the glory this morning." I'll tell you, if you will humbly submit yourself under the hand of God, you can get into the glory this morning. I'll tell you, we live in an hour, church, when God's people are trying to kick out of the traces right, rather than submitting themselves to the perplexities of life and the troubles and the hardships and the dilemmas. We're looking for a way out, but if we had looked to God, He'd give us a way through it. I'm not looking for the way out of nothing. I'm trying to find the way through it. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And as sure as He's the way to salvation, He is the way to every approach and aspect of life. And brother, there is nothing that God cannot see you through this morning. Now don't leave me. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, you don't know what we're going through." I probably don't. But God does. You don't know what I'm going through, but God does. I'll guarantee you on that. I'll guarantee you that George and Sandy had no earthly idea 3 or 4 months ago that they'd wake up some morning and suddenly find their daughter with diabetes. But I'll assure you that that did not take God by surprise. Huh? And He can make this trial a blessing. Hey, God, He can take trials and tribulations and make them a blessing, and out of the bad turn it into good, and through it all fill our hearts with joy and praise and adoration and worship to God. I'll tell you, if we can have the spirit we've had last Sunday and today here every week, I will glory in my tribulations, in necessities, and in reproaches, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hey, and have you ever considered the fact that these perplexities of life may just be there through the grace of God to humble our hearts and bring us to a place of obedience and humility and submission in the presence of God? That's right. Listen to this illustration. One writer said, I read this, one of the commentators said he saw a verse, or he saw this verse written on a tombstone, on a monument. He said, I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. God did it. Didn't open his mouth because God did it. He didn't murmur because God did it. He didn't complain because God did it. He didn't write because God did it. Somebody said, preacher, what was that marble monument about? It was about a family that lost 3 children to scarlet fever. They buried them together, set up a tombstone for them with Psalm 39 and verse 9 inscribed on that tombstone. That man has simply said that God giveth and God taketh away and God doeth all things well, and I will not murmur or complain regardless of what God does in my life, because it's all the will of God for my life. Buddy, I don't understand that, but I'm learning it. Brother, I'll tell you what, I've been through some things I didn't understand, but I'm starting to learn why. And hallelujah, it's going to be a blessing. I know that it is going to be a blessing. I tell you, if a man can lose 3 precious children to scarlet fever and have enough grace about him to write on their tombstone, I kept my mouth a tight lip because God did it, then surely you and I today can humble ourselves and seal our lips and submit ourselves to God regardless of what happens in our life. I think of the fellow that wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. Got word from England that his 3 daughters had drowned in the depths of the Atlantic Ocean. Only his wife, have you ever heard, surely you've heard the story. Only his wife survived the sinking of that ship. And that gracious man of God, with all the grace that God could give him, sat down and wrote that beautiful hymn, When Peace Like a River. Oh, it is well with my soul. Thanks be unto God, it is well. There was a man that had lost his family, but yet he could say, it is well with my soul. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because God did it. Are you telling me that God can't keep a ship afloat, airplanes in the air, keep me and you are going for God, keep us well and in health? I mean, just keep us from sickness and infirmities. God can do it, church. And these perplexities come into our life because God is a trying to humble us and get us into a place of submission in his life. Now, you ain't going to leave me, are you? I'm trying to lay a foundation to preach. I hope you won't. I'll tell you, I see a man here submitted to God. Amen. Fully surrendered. There ain't many preachers preaching on full surrender these days. Amen. And there ain't many Baptists, amen, who want to be fully surrendered, right, to the will of God for your life. Amen. I think it was maybe Sister Woodard that we were talking the other day in the hospital. And she mentioned Sheila Rawls. Brother Richard Rawls' little girl. Some of y'all don't even know her. But at an early age, that child was stricken with muscular dystrophy. And all of her life, she wanted her daddy to go to the mission field. Never told him a thing about it. But he said he walked by her room one night and heard her praying. And she said, Lord, send me to the mission field. Old Brother Rawls said, I heard her prayer to go to the mission field, and I knew that her legs, she was a paraplegic, she couldn't walk, she couldn't hardly hold her hands, her neck humped over, she slobbered out of her mouth. Brother Rawl said, there is no way that child with her legs like that can ever go to the mission field and be a missionary. Missionaries has got to walk. And he said, all of a sudden, God said, Richard, why can't you be her legs? Oh, do you hear what I'm saying? And that little girl wheeled herself up the aisle of this church, parked right there in a wheelchair, and sang little is much when God is in it. I'm telling you, church, little is much when God gets in it. I'm telling you that the perplexity and the afflictions of life is God's opportunity to bless us and use us in His service for the glory of God. That amazes me. It really does. One of the greatest Nazarene preachers that ever lived, old Uncle Bud Robinson, he talked with a lisp. Uncle Bud was a good Nazarene preacher, but he stuttered and he talked like this. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Uncle Bud had the power of God on him.
Amen.
God took old Uncle Bud's perplexity and made a real man of God out of him.
Amen.
Another man of God said, what? Did you, can you, what's wrong with you, Moses? Ask the stutter who made your mouth. I'm telling you that we shun hardships and troubles and perplexities and afflictions and illnesses and sicknesses. And by the way, there's always a crowd around that will want to heal everybody that gets sick. But God may not want everybody well to get sick. God may want to take their sickness and make them a blessing to somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen to God. Let me ask you this. How are you going to respond to what you're going through today?
Amen.
You going to buck like a mule? Or are you going to submit like you got half sense?
Yes,
huh?
Amen.
Somebody said this ain't very exciting. Nobody might get the job done.
Yes.
That's all I care about if it gets the job done. Right. I sat back there. I said, Lord, I don't even have to preach. I ain't interested in people seeing me. I'm interested in God moving and working in our hearts to conform us to the image of Christ, to bless us in this life, and enable us to reach heaven sure with the joy of the Lord in our soul. And hear Him say when we get there, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. I'm starting to feel pretty good. Huh? Now, don't nobody leave me. I'm getting ready to point out some things, I hope. I got to thinking about this submission. When David said I was dumb, I opened not my mouth. Because thou didst it. Thou didst it. Thou didst it. Thou didst it. And I got to thinking about places in our life where we ought to be submitted to God. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? I'm talking about areas of our lives where we must, not just should be, but must be according to the Bible, submitted to God in our lives, or the work that He wants to do in you and I will never be accomplished if we're bucking against God. Hey, I just wonder really how long it took Paul to get saved. You know, when he was on the road to Damascus and that light broke through? And old Paul fell down on his face and cried, what is it, Lord? And God, and the Lord asked him, said, Paul, said, is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? In other words, is it hard for you to kick against what I'm trying to do in your life? I've been trying to save you, Paul, ever since you stood and watched little Stephen stoned to death. I've been trying by the power of the Holy Ghost to convey salvation to your heart. I wouldn't doubt it at all if there ain't some of you in here this morning that's went through all you've done, that God's trying to get your attention to save you by the grace of God.
Amen.
Huh? Buddy, old Paul said, hey, God said, Lord said, is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? In other words, why do you keep kicking against what I'm trying to do? Now, I wonder, hey, how many of us in here this morning have been kicking against the pricks, kicking against what God is trying to do in our life that will bring good to us, blessing to us, and glory to Him in the time of death? Huh?
Amen.
You better know that's right.
Yes,
Thanks. I got to thinking about places of submission. Some of these places may not be too pleasant to some of you. Amen. But I thought of the first place we need to be totally surrendered to God is on the potter's wheel. On the potter's wheel. I wanted to preach out of this text out of Jeremiah. Out of Jeremiah chapter 6, 18. When God told him to go down to the potter's house. And he said, down there, Jeremiah, you will hear my words. And he went down to the potter's house. The Bible said, behold, he said, the potter wrought a work on the wheels. And while the potter was doing the work on the wheels, he said, the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Now I'm here to tell you, friend, when we're on the potter's wheel and God is conforming us into a vessel that is meet for the master's use, there's no need of kicking against the pricks and a bucking against God and rebelling against God. We need to humbly yield ourselves in submission to the work of God and let Him do on us that which pleases Him, because He's trying to make a vessel that is meet for the Master's use.
Yes.
Are y'all listening to me now? I'll tell you, we need to be submitted to God while we're on that potter's wheel. And look here, somebody said, why? Because that vessel was marred. I got news for you. You've got some flaws in you, friend, that God's trying to iron out of you. You ain't arrived yet, buddy. That's right. They still, some of us got an old sire temper. Amen to God. I mean just rears up and flares up. Some of us, our disposition, our attitude is worse than the devil's himself. Oh, yes unto God. Some of us is full of pride. Some of us is full of jealousy and envy and strife. Now I'm here to tell you, amen. I'm here to tell you that there's flaws in your life that God is trying to iron out, and He wants you surrendered to His will that He might iron them out, get rid of them to make you a vessel that He can set up that people might admire it. You know what He said about Job? You know what God said about Job? Job said, Lord, said, you grabbed me by the nape of the neck. You shook me like a rug and shook all the wrinkles out of me and set me up for a mark. That is, He said, you set me up as a trophy, as an example of God's grace, that others may look at my example and be glorified in you. And old Job has been preached on trials and troubles more than any other man in the Bible. More suffering more than any man in the Bible. Oh, yea, suffered. He lost his children. He lost his finances. He lost everything he had. But I'm going to tell you one thing he didn't lose. Hallelujah to God. He never lost the Lord. And brother, hey, God made you promise of riches and family and friends, but He is our friend. We'll never leave us. Hallelujah to God. I know that's right. And I'm going to tell you, when old Job come out on the other side, he was pure gold. Glory to God. God made something out of it. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, God don't have to take these things away from us sometimes to get the flaws out. Sometimes He don't. Sometimes He does. You got flaws, friend. Amen to God. And I don't want to bog down there. But I want to point out something. Hey, he was submitted that God might work out the flaws. Now, I noticed something in this that might help some of you. And this is good Bible if you'll listen to it. I saw something there. Notice in verse number 3, he said, behold, he wrought a work on wheels.
Amen.
Every time I've heard that preached on, the preacher always say, he wrought a work on the wheel. But there's more than one wheel. He said he wrote a work on the wheels. Hey, I don't know where this is right or wrong, but I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost gave me out of that. More than one wheel. For the simple fact, there may be more than one area of your life that God's trying to get a flaw out of.
Amen.
Amen to God. And look here, He may use a plurality of ways to get them flaws out of your life. Oh, if that's good, if you can get a hold of that. I'm going to tell you, we are so, we're so finite-minded. friend, that we can't concentrate but about on one major problem at a time in our life. But it just may be that God wants to bring on about two or three major problems.
Yes.
And let one problem work in one area of your life, another problem work in another area of your life, and another problem in another area of your life. Amen, because there may be three or four areas He's working on to get the flaws out.
Yes.
Now, He's worked on Miss Ruth back there with automobiles. Don't nobody ever come to me and ask my opinion about a vehicle. She asked me about that old blue truck, and I said, I think it's a good one. Son, she had more trouble with that egg-sucking thing. Huh? Than any. Hey, that's right. And I come back and put my finger on some of the rest of you and tell you about your little perplexities that you're going through right now. And there may be more than one of them. Some of you has got family perplexities. Husbands with lost wives. Wives with lost husbands. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, that ain't a problem. Honey, not unless you sit there. Then it'd be a big, major problem.
Right.
I tell you, a man living with a lost woman, if my man ain't happy, ain't nobody in the house happy.
Amen.
The same way it is with a man that's lost and his wife's a serving God. Hear what I'm saying? Some folks have financial problems. I can tell you preachers today, preachers that has called me and written me, talked to me about, I heard on Owen Hawk the other night, and I may cut that egg sucker off. Double married, mixed married egg sucker.
Amen.
Huh? Talking about their financial problem. I'm here to tell you, hey, look here, your financial problems may be God trying to teach you how to handle your money right. Now, I'm just being honest with you. There's a time in my life when I had that problem. Brother Hall was as loose as a goose when it come to I could just spend my money like water. But I'm telling you, looking at one bird now that's starting to clamp down pretty tight, buddy.
Amen.
The money's starting to get pretty precious around the Hall household, and I ain't likely to throw none of it out to the dogs on foolishness.
Amen.
Huh? Some folks go through financial problems. God to teach them how to handle their money properly.
Amen.
That's right. While you're on the wheel, submit yourself while you're on the wheel. God may be working in more ways than one. Now I'm going to tell you something else. You need to be patient while
Amen.
You're on that wheel.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
Don't try to get off of it. And I've got news for you. Once it comes off the wheel, somebody said, well, the work's about over. Oh, no, it ain't. You've got to get into heaven, boys.
Right.
Amen. He's going to shape it how He wants it, and then He's going to put her in the oven and bake it so it'll stay that way.
Yes.
Somebody said, what if you backslide? You won't after you've been in the oven, buddy. No, once you've been in God's pressure cooker, you ain't going to backslide out. Guarantee you on that, God sets you in the oven, bakes you and brings you out, and you get right brittle and hard. You will not backslide on God.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, well, you can lose it. What are you going to do, jump off the shelf? You're a vessel, remember? Vessels don't have any legs. They don't have any eyes and feet, no ear. I mean, all they can do is sit there and look pretty.
Amen.
Let me just run that by you a minute.
Amen.
Hey, have you ever considered what a vessel is? I looked that word vessel up. It is just simply an ornament. And vessels are used primarily for two things. To look pretty and to hold things that are pretty. Buddy, we ain't getting there.
Yes.
God wants to mold you and bake you and make a vessel out of you that He might use for the glory of God.
Yes.
And then He will adorn you with glorious, beautiful items. Amen. That will be eye-catching to everybody that comes into the house of God.
Yes.
Did you get a hold of that?
Yes, sir.
I guarantee that 90% of you, the first Sunday that we set these roses here, that Mrs. Robertson sent over to the funeral for me and my mother died, I guarantee about everybody looked at them flowers and said, boy, them sure are pretty flowers. In a white vessel, too. Pretty eye-catching. Are you about to get what I'm getting? What I'm trying? Hey, son, God's trying to set vessels in the house of God.
Amen.
Buddy, when men come to hay, when men, hey, and he's trying to use that vessel to hold beautiful, glorious ornaments. Like what, Brother Hall? Like grace.
Yes,
like holiness.
Amen.
Oh, yes. I want holiness, buddy, to stick up out of this vessel of mine like a red rose just sticking up out of a low vessel, something on the foyer of the house of God. Amen to God.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then not only, you better be patient while God's doing that and be humble. You know what James said in James 4:10? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. So that humility, that humbling is submitting yourself to God.
Amen.
Humble, not proud. Well, I'm afraid here's one's going to get us now. We've been sailing along pretty good. We need to be submitted on the potter's wheel. Now, I'm going to try to hurry. We need to be submitted. And this is what I'm telling you, this is going to get some of you, to the pastor's rebuke.
Amen.
I'm going to hide. Hey, you know why some of you can't be submitted to the pastor's rebuke? Some of you ain't got no pastor.
Amen. Amen.
It slowed down. Let's just bring her down and talk. We'll just bring her. I'm talking about the pastor's rebuke. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, but the pastor has no authority to rebuke somebody. Oh, I beg to differ with you. Brother Paul told a young preacher by the name of Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and authority. Now, I'm telling you, there's not many folks today that will humble themselves under the rebuke of the man of God at the church house. Oh, and I'm telling you, it's God, it's my God-given responsibility, according to the Word of God, to rebuke you. Now, follow me. He said in Titus 2:15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I'll never submit myself to another man's authority. Hey, I thought about this. I wonder why it is. I just can't. Hey, people can go to the Walmart store and get them a job, punch a time clock, and if that supervisor says jump, they jump. If he says put up stock, they put up stock. Work at the cash register, they work at the cash register. People can go to their secular job and the supervisor walk by, give them instructions and orders, and buddy, I'm telling you, they will humbly submit themselves to that man's authority.
Yes.
That same crowd can come to the house of God where the pastor is preaching.
Yes, sir.
That God, He's got authority from heaven. And that same principle applies. And that man can rebuke. And folks will not. They will not receive that rebuke. You know why? They will not have a pastor over them. Son, I'm telling you, we're living in an hour when people don't want a pastor. They ain't going to listen to a pastor. And the majority of them don't want the advice of a pastor. They've already arrived. Now, I thank God for those of you that come and talk to Brother Hall about this problem and that problem. But some of you could have problems driving you nuts. You wouldn't go to the right source to get help for it.
Amen.
Ain't we having fun now?
Yes.
Paul told Timothy, Titus rather, he said, you rebuke, son, with all authority.
Amen.
Huh? Listen to this verse. 1 Timothy 5:20. Them that sin, rebuke before all,
amen,
that others may fear. Do it for a reason, that others may fear. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, that's not truth. That is awful embarrassing. Sometimes embarrassment will help get you right with God.
Amen.
Huh? Sometimes a nice, gentle rebuke will help get you right with God. Because a wise man will adhere to being rebuked and will learn. But a fool in his folly will not give heed to the man of God in rebuke.
Right.
Listen to this verse of Scripture. Some of you have already turned me off. He said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Oh, my God, aren't we having fun this morning? Somebody said, Brother Hall, we've cried and wept this morning and sang and had such a good time, and here you are running today. No, I'm just preaching the Word of God that God laid on my heart to preach.
Amen.
Submit yourselves to us. There is more godly authority in a pastor than there is in the president of our country. I'm going to ask some of you this morning. Do you want a pastor, or do you want to go on in your own God-given authority, doing your own thing, going your own way? I've seen them blow up and blow out. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. That's the reason why. He lays on his face at night and weeps and prays for your soul. And not only that, he watches for your soul. That's why you ought to submit yourself to him. When he preaches on sin that is approaching you, he's a watching your soul. And I'm going to tell you, God's given the man of God some insight with his spiritual vision that enables him to see some troubles that could be approaching your life that you just may not see. We've all got a blind side to us, friend. Amen. And we've all got a backside to us and a blind side. And the devil come up on that blind side and cause great problem. And God enables that preacher to preach against some things that will help you if you let him.
Amen.
That's right. Boy, we're having fun now for sure. Amen. For they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Why, Brother Hall? For that is unprofitable for you.
Amen.
I ain't listening to Hall. I'm going to do my thing. I ain't listening to him. Doesn't some of you better?
Amen.
It don't hurt to get some good godly advice, folks.
Amen.
Huh? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now hang with me. Listen right here. I don't know how it's going to come out. I'm trying to preach what God gave me. We ought to submit ourselves to the potter's wheel and the pastor's rebuke. But we ought to submit ourselves to the powers of authority.
Amen.
Now, and before I get where I'm going, and this is going to be, I mean, it's not shouting ground, but I'm telling you, there's some things, buddy, that's got to be preached today. I'm telling you, there's preachers in our country that won't take a driver's license. They won't take a marriage license. They will not submit themselves to any kind of a power or authority over them. Amen. I've heard of some that will build buildings and houses and refuse to get builder's permit, defy the people of town. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't have to mind those people. I beg to differ with you, my friends. But I'm telling you, we've got a crowd that, I mean, just like old Wayne, what's his name? It was over in Louisville. The fire marshal comes and said, I'm going to inspect your house. To inspect your church. Make sure it's safe for people to be. Oh, no. I don't have to submit to that. Friend, I tell you, I'd thank God if a man come and looked at that. I wouldn't want this building to burn down and kill 3/4 of the people in here this morning.
Right. Yes, sir.
I knew a nut out in Arizona that would not get driver's license. Said that's against his constitutional rights. To get driver's license. Well, I don't know anything about whether it's constitutional rights. But I can tell you, friend, what God said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 13. He said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake.
Amen.
Every ordinance of man.
Amen.
For the Lord's sake. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I am not trying to be ugly. There's a preacher over in the eastern part of the state that has refused to pay city tax. He says they're licensing him to preach. I'm telling you, looking at a preacher, that when they told me I should pay my city taxes, I said, amen, I will pay my city taxes, and I have ever since. And intend to continue to do that. It is an ordinance of man.
and we're to submit ourselves to that. Hey, ain't no need of making yourself look like some kind of a raving fool in the eyes of lost men and women that don't know any better. You'll never win them to God that way.
Amen.
That's right. Old Greg Dixon up in Indianapolis, they want to put little old placards on their back, march all up and down the streets, and go down to the courthouse and put a sign up on their shoulders and how they ain't going to do this and they ain't going to do that. Friend, yeah, hey, look here. You know what God gave me this morning? Paul said in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 2, I believe it is, he said, I exhort first of all that prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for them that are in authority.
Amen.
Now you tell, how in God's name can you pray for somebody that's in authority and be in defiance of the very laws that they've given you?
Amen.
You can't do it.
Amen.
Boy, we're not having much fun, but this is what God told me to preach.
Amen.
Submission. You see, folks, I'm satisfied. If we won't submit ourselves to some of the smaller things, we ain't never going to submit to God either. You know what? That's just a sign of rebellion.
Right.
Somebody. Huh? Listen what he said in that same chapter, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 15. He said, for this is to those principalities and those powers that are in authority in our land. That, by the way, does include speed limits.
Amen.
You're looking at one man that has learned his lesson on speeding. I got a letter in the mail a few weeks ago. Said, "Dear Mr. Hall," from the transportation cabinet. "Dear Mr. Hall, this letter is a notice to you that your driving privileges has been suspended." I said, "Well, what have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And I went on to read that it was because of a traffic violation. I had to take care of a traffic violation in the state of Arizona. I called Frankfort. Frankfort directed me to Arizona. I called Arizona and Phoenix. They directed my telephone call to Chinle. And a nice little woman on the phone said, "Yes, Mr. Hall," said, "are you 305-480-064? I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's me." She said, "Yes," said, "there's a little a warrant here for you for speeding back in 1986. I said, 12 years? She said, "Yes, sir. And there's no statute of limitations." I said, "And I got to pay that for it." I said, "What if I paid that fellow right there on the spot?" She said, "We don't know nothing about that. We want what our records show." And I said, "Well, what's the fine?" She said, "If you'd have paid it in 1986, it'd been $39. But since you waited so long, it's $92. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Huh? 82 and a 65, boys. Hey, every ordinance of man. Somebody said, "I wouldn't have paid it." I'm going to tell you right now, friend, the Chinle County Jail didn't look good to Brother Hall.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, pay it.
Amen.
Gladly will I pay it. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the paths that be are of God. He ordains one, sets him up, and sets down another. And God is working His plan in authority, in places of authority, just like He is the house of God.
Amen.
Son, we need to be submitted there. Listen to what he said in Titus 3:1. He said, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." Obey them.
Amen.
Powers that be. Now I'm getting ready to close. If you'll just let me give you a couple more things. Places of submission. But what about the product? What comes out of our submission to God in these places of authority, these powers? To the pastor's rebuke. And the Lord's power, His potter, His wheel. What comes out of all that? I think it's going to get us. I really do, and somebody's going to look at me and laugh when I say this, honest to God. And I'm going to tell you, I never had anything to smack me like it smacked me this morning when I was writing these verses of Scripture down. I mean, it just hit me with an impact. Are you ready for this? Do you know the first thing that submission will do in our life? I've never seen it. It will make us gentle.
Right.
I'm telling you, I've always been an old rough, tough, spit in your face. Bless God, if you say one word to me, I'll knock you down. And so is 99% of saved people. I mean, we've got something that crawls up the back of our neck, son. I mean, Benny took me back there the other night and said, Daddy, said, I want to take you back here and show you something. He went back here on that computer, turned that computer on. Little old thing came up on the screen. I heard a guy say, hey, company, hit the ride. Bravo, company, have the ride. And what it was, he said, Dad, don't have no backflashes now. And what it was little shots on there of 1965, 67, 68, little shots in Vietnam. And I still see, hey, they had on there the first air cavalry's assault in 1965 in the mountains of Pleiku. I said, Lord, I know that place. And I saw them old boys. And it showed that screen. It showed an old boy coming through there with a machete cutting down them jungle bushes. And I told the fellas, I said, give it just a minute. There'll be a man right behind him. And sure enough, buddy, in just a few seconds, you could see that other man. I've been right there. Son, I've seen him shooting that M16 rifle. And I heard that captain say, fire roll, fire roll, fire roll. And I'm telling you, that stuff started crawling up the back of my neck. One of them fellas said, what are you thinking about? I said, praise God. I'm thinking about going back one more time. Hey, just something in there, boys. Amen. But God wants us to be a gentle people for Him.
Amen.
That's right. That word gentle means peaceable and quiet. It means gentle in nature, gentle in temper, gentle in our disposition. God wants us, church, to be gentle. Hey, he said in 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord, somebody said, that's you, Brother Hall. Yeah. It got me pretty good. Must be gentle.
Amen.
Must not strive.
Amen.
That strive is the opposite. Do you know what strife is? It's pushing against something. Pulling against something. Just going the opposite direction. Look here. You know the thought that come to me, man, and I can't help but to give you this illustration. It's the best I've had in a long time. To get across, hey, God wants us to submit that we might be gentle in His eyes. I'll never forget years ago, my brothers had a little old horse. That's not old Satan, this is another horse. Had a little old black and white, pardon the stud horse. They called him Rex. You talking about wild, that boy's as wild as a March hare. John, you could walk out to him and walk out in the field where he was at and try to put a halter on his face and he'd just get away from that altar. I'm saying the only way to get him, just throw a rope around his neck, and then you try to put that bit on. Somebody said, was he submitted? Oh, no. He was as wild as a March hare, but in rebellious, trying to put that bit on. He'd just twist and throw like that and throw his head around. Finally get that bit and bridle on that horse and laid a blanket on his back. And the first thing he done went to bucking. Buddy, I'm telling you, that's exactly how God's people are. When God throws a canopy of the Holy Ghost on most Baptists' back, the first thing they want to do is butt and kick against that authority that's on their back.
Right.
They don't want to carry that little oak. You've been there. I bet you've never seen that stuff in them horses you got at you in. Yeah! Yeah, about that. Now, I'm going to tell you, after a while, he got so he'd hold that, he'd kind of flinch around when that blanket was on him. But my brother took that saddle and got it in that right hand and said, whoa, now, boy, whoa, Rex. He took that saddle. When he threw it up like that and that hit him, I'm telling you, son, them little old hind legs went a high 10, seemed like 10 feet in the air. That saddle went in one direction. My brother went in the other direction. Son, it was on. That horse went down through the field with his head between his legs a kicking. Oh, you tell you, he was everything. Somebody said, was he a good little horse? He was a fine little horsey. I walked behind him to pick up that blanket that fell, and he was so gentle, the egg sucker kicked me! That's the way most Baptists are. Son, we're kicking each other to death. We're beating each other to death because we do not possess a gentle and a meek spirit in the eyes of God.
Amen.
We're kicking each other. We're beating one another to death.
Amen.
But you know something my brother said? I know a trick. He said he's got to get his head between his legs to buck. Hey, should just get his head and tie it up high. We tied that little old head with a rope on that altar, son, on that halter, tied it up high in that tree, and hit him with that saddle, and all he could do is go round and around. That's the way a lot of Baptists are doing. Rather than submit to God, they're going round and round, trying to get out from under the load God's put on.
Amen.
Huh? Around and around he'd go. Finally, we hemmed him in and got that saddle on him, and girded up that saddle, and he kind of flinched around, but he done pretty good. He got under the weight of that saddle, and we just led him around. My brother just led him. He walked pretty good with that saddle. And one day we went out. My brother said, "Today's the big test, boys." He said, "We're going to get on him." And my brother got on him and lasted about 5 seconds and come off. Are y'all listening to me now? I think I've got most of his attention. I had a cousin named Vernon Huckleberry. He was in the Navy, home on furlough from the Navy. He told my brother, "I'll ride that horse." My brother said, "You can't do it, Vernon." He said, "I'll ride him or kill me, one of the two." Hey, are you listening? A little old black and white stud wasn't no taller than that right there. And 27 times Vernon Huckleberry jumped on that stud, and 27 times, son, he come off. And the last time he come off, he landed in something that didn't smell too pleasant. He said, "I'm out of here. This is it, buddy." Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Now I'm telling you, there was no gentleness in that horse. You walk behind him, he'd kick a fire out of you. He hated people. Meanest thing I ever seen in my life. I seen my brothers take rubber hoses and beat him between the stinking eyes. And finally, we got him where you could stay on his back a while. And finally, he got just a little better, a little more gentle, and a little more gentle. Now I'm telling you, after 2 or 3 years, that little old Rex horse, the kids could get out. I've seen him walk between his tail, between his legs, and hold on to his tail and swing on his tail. I've seen little baby sit on his back and crawl around under his feet. That horse wouldn't harm nobody. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, hey, when we submit ourselves, my friend, to God and to God's power and God's authority, it will make us gentle-hearted people for the glory of God.
Amen.
I read that this morning and my heart sunk. I said, "Lord, I've been meaner than a dog. Hateful. Mean." I said, "Please help me. God, help me. I want to be right." And that Bible says we ought to be gentle people. Not brawlers, railers and fighters, a beating and a kicking, but gentle. Gentle. He said in Titus 3:2, he said to speak evil of no man.
Amen.
Be no brawlers, but gentle.
Amen.
Showing all meekness to all men.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what one of the old writers said, and I just wrote this quote down. Now, this is my outline. They ain't too good. You ain't getting too much in no way. Some of you might be. We ain't too excited, but that's all right. Here's what one writer said about being gentle. He said, "A gentle hand can lead an elephant with a hair." A gentle hand can lead an elephant with a hair. Can I say something to our church this morning from my heart? I don't know why. It's only the grace of God and me being in God's will. But I don't know what's kept you from running me off a long time ago. I mean that. Son, I'm telling you, a servant of the Lord must be gentle.
Amen.
And in a delicate way, be able to lead people. Delicately and gently. And tender-hearted. Are you following what I'm saying? I've been a far cry from that. May God help me. May God help me.
Amen.
I want to be like Him. I'm telling you, I've read that Bible through a few times, Brother Chris, and I've never read one time where He ever opened His mouth angrily. Even being crucified,
Amen.
He spoke as sweet a words to Pontius Pilate as a man could speak. Caiaphas ridiculed Him. They spit in His face. They smote Him. They striped Him with a cat of nine tails. Now I'm telling you, our Lord very gently and very lowly and meekly and humbly endured it all, and not one time did He open up His mouth. That's
Amen.
Gentleness. Somebody said, "Oh, I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to be a man." I'm telling you, there's more of a man in our Lord.
Amen.
He had more manliness in His little fingernail than we'd have in 1,000 lifetimes, friend. And he was the meekest man that ever walked. And the Bible said Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. I'm here to tell you, friend. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? Unto God, if we'll submit ourselves under God's authority, God will make us gentle people.
Amen.
That's right. I'll tell you the second product, and I'm going to hurry on these, is godliness. Godliness. And the third product is guidance. God cannot lead a bonehead person. Do you think we could lead old Rex? At the beginning, all we could do is tie him to an old hickory nut tree across the road from Mom and Daddy's house and let him run around that tree with a blanket on his back. You couldn't lead that horse nowhere. But I'll tell you later on, just throw a little old string up over. I've seen him take that little old horse, and after he submitted to them and was so gentle, I have seen him try to take them reins. You know, and instead of neck reining the horse, they'd pull on them bits in their hand to make him turn his stinking head. But after he got gentle, you know, all he'd have to do is just lay that rein on his neck and he'd just turn. You know why? He was gentle now. And all it took, look here, a gentle-hearted Christian, all it takes is just a little touch from God. And they're so sensitive. Makes you sensitive. Soft-hearted and sensitive and tender. God can just lead you. Just with a gentle touch. Walk out in the field and say, Rex! He's right there. Looking for them little sugar cubes. Looking for that little handful of oats. You hear what I'm saying? That's God's people. Amen. God just calls and they're right there looking for that. Oh, I like them sugar cubes. I got a pretty good one this morning. Are you hearing me? Gentleness, godliness, and guidance. God can lead us. And I'll close with this. Hey, there is a prize or a reward to submission.
Amen.
Somebody said, Brother Hall, what is it? I'm glad you asked. It's one word. And I hope you get this above everything I've said. It's exaltation. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. I've preached on that so many times and preached on the humility. We'll humble ourselves. But what about the rest of that verse? That He may exalt you in due time.
Amen.
And you know the thought that came to me, I got to thinking about Sarah and Hagar. And I know the typology that's there, gentlemen. But when Sarah had her tiff with Hagar, and Hagar left, the angel of the Lord, I believe it's in chapter 16, I believe of Genesis, found her and said, here's what he said. He said, go back and submit yourself to her.
Amen.
And then he said, here's what I'll do. If you'll submit yourself, he said, I am going to multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven.
Amen.
In other words, Hagar, I'm going to multiply your seed. And make your, and by the way, that's the Arab line. That's the Arab folks. Not the Jews, but all the Arab nations came out of the loins of Ishmael. Now that's not the spiritual seed, but God did exalt that seed. And because that woman went back and sat down under Sarah and said, whatever you want, I'll do it. And folks, if we take that attitude with God, whatever, Lord,
Amen.
You want. I'll do it. Don't be honest with you. I'm a little rebellious in my heart right now because this ain't the kind of service I wanted. I've been thinking all the time, Lord, why'd we have the good song service and then have to preach something like this? But I'm satisfied this is what the Holy Ghost wanted to preach.
Amen.
And I didn't really want to preach it. But God knows what
Amen.
He's trying to accomplish.
Amen.
And if we'll just humbly submit ourselves, whatever you want, Lord. I'm willing. Now, the perplexities of life you're going through, your problems, your troubles, your trials, can you honestly say, I have submitted myself, Lord, because Thou doest it? Let's stand together.